I'll mention it later, but the Skiermonts, the family that sits, Tim and Debbie that sit right behind you, Marty. Tim came down with middle of the week, end of the week, he had tested positive for COVID. So we'll put them on our prayer list as well to pray for them. But I want you to take your Bibles this morning to Philippians, the third chapter. And I'm going to continue the next couple of weeks with with this whole idea of depression. There's a lot of people that struggle with it. There really is. And so I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. There are a lot of different kinds of depression, but I mentioned this last week. Mostly, and I think the most kind of depression, by the way, is what we refer to as reactive depression or not clinical depression. What that is what reactive depression is. It's how you respond to a loss in your life. So I started last week talking about how to be a good loser. Because in life, we lose. Now, I know there's other types of depression. I think we need to be careful how we label all of these things. And I don't think all of these things that are labeled depression are clinical depression. I do think it's a reactive depression where people can't handle a loss in life. So we deal primarily with that. I think it's the most common, and I think everybody faces it because it is your response to something that is either imagined, which is what a lot of times it is, or in all actuality, something that's happening or has happened in your life and how you respond to those circumstances of life. And it's associated with loss. It's kind of like grieving. If you lose a loved one, or that's a loss. That's a big loss. Or if you lose a job or some relationship, or maybe a lot of times when kids get older and now you can't control them because they make their own decisions and they do their own thing as a mom, and that can be a little bit stressful. But it's natural and normal in some of those things in the grieving process. So we go through this grieving process. Now, we grieve for a season. And sometimes there are some people that need help with that. But listen, it's a process. It's a season. It's got to be a season. The more minor the loss, the easier it is to get over. The bigger the loss, the harder. So I was talking to Richard Brooks yesterday, and somehow he got talking about the Buffalo Bills football team. He goes, yeah, they went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row. They're never going to win the Super Bowl. You know, it's like, he ain't even going to worry about it. Okay, that's a small loss. That's like no big deal. But there are things in life that are bigger losses. And the question ultimately is this: how do I deal with those losses? And what we want to talk about or finish today is you got to learn how to be a good loser. Learn to deal with loss. If you make excuses, if you blame other people for the loss, you're not learning to be a good loser, and you will have problems with the more difficult losses that all of us sooner or later will face in life. The big ones. We're going to lose everything, you know that, eventually, except our salvation and the relationships with the people that we have that ultimately go to heaven with us. Other than that, everything else is lost. So here's how Paul dealt with it. And I got to be careful how I speak because I have a cough drop stuck away in my mouth. And I thought it was going to be gone by now, but it's not. So if it flies out and hits Jerry or Luke, I apologize right away. Okay. And the goal for me today is to see if I can keep it there and to see how long it lasts. I'm actually timing it if you want to know what I'm doing. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, he said, that I may win Christ. Now, Paul had learned how to be a good loser. The issue here is this, and I want you to get this first. The issue here is the priority of life. When you have a loss, how do you deal with loss? First thing is, you have to have the right priorities in your life. Now, you realize, I think you should by now, you are adults, that eventually you lose everything, and so obviously then the highest priority in our life is who? God. It's our Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So there's always a higher priority. That's God. You ought to try to file that away back in your mind somewhere and just remember there is a higher priority. Now, things and possessions, they come between me and my relationship with Christ. Paul said, count all of those things but loss, because that's what he did. If the only thing I had was my relationship to Jesus, I'd have enough. It's an attitude. That's really what it is. It's where it starts. It starts with your attitude. With Jesus, I have everything I need. There's actually a song. I think that's the title of it. And Paul's attitude was this: I want Christ. He said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I can live with Christ if I lose my health. I can live with Christ. I can live if I lose my health. I can lose if I lose my. I can live with Jesus if I lose my job. I can still function. That's going to be my mindset. So now, we are in a situation in America with all the elections craziness going on and all that stuff, that there are actually people that cannot function. I mean, they can't function. This is just awful. They can't believe it. And even in New York State, where we don't know who's going to be our representative in the 22nd district. Maybe they called it the last couple of days. I haven't paid attention. And people are like, what's going to happen? What's going on? What's going on? And they're all to the point where some of them, I literally mean this, they can't function. Jesus said 6 times, he that loseth his life, loses is loss. He that loses his life shall find it. Now, when depression goes on for an inordinate amount of time, it's because our hope is in something that we can never get back, something other than Christ himself. So let's say that you have a loss in your life. You might not be able to ever get it back. It might be the loss of a loved one. That's never going to come back to you. That's gone. That's history. But you still have Jesus. There is nothing wrong with loss or feeling the loss. But it's a process, and the time comes when you come to the end of that grieving process, and listen, you have to go on with life. A loss of a loved one is a good illustration. We know that grief at some point, though, must end. And ultimately, we have to go on with life. So you have to learn how to be a good loser. So we ask things like this. Why'd this happen to me? I actually had a guy mention that to me like a month or so ago. He says, why is this happening to me? And I looked at him and I said this. I said, why not you? Are you any better than anybody else? When somebody says this statement, why is this happening to me? What would be the first sin that you think of that comes to your mind? Pride was my number one. What else? Selfishness, would you say, Hope? Number two, that was my number two. So one, two. That's why not you? Why shouldn't it happen to you? Why shouldn't it happen to me? It's happened to others. Now, are you any better than anybody else? No. None of us are any better than anybody else. So, in fact, the only two I wrote down was pride and selfishness. I could say, instead of saying, look what I lost, I could say, look what I have. I don't have to look at something and say, look what I don't have. So realize you're going to lose everything. Have the right priorities. Learn to be a good loser. Now, I got a list of several things I want to give you. First of all, realize this. When we talk about why bad things happen and why me, why this, why whatever. Listen, you live in a fallen world. You need to realize that you live in a fallen world. And in this fallen world, bad things happen. They happen to me. They happen to you. They happen to 100% of everybody that walks on the face of the earth. Bad things happen. But remember, that's not the final goal, to live in happiness down here. It's nice to be happy down here, I'll give you that. But that's not the final goal. There's a higher priority. Secondly, realize that your trouble, or realize that any trouble, I guess, is universal. Remember what Jesus said? He said, in this world ye shall have what? Tribulation. He didn't say, in this world you shall be happy. In this world you won't ever have any more problems. In this world everything is going to be a box of chocolates all the time. It's just going to be great. That's not what he said. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. So realize we live in a fallen world. Realize the trouble is universal. Thirdly, realize our flesh is never 100% satisfied all the time. It isn't. And fourthly, realize God, and try to get this please, realize God did not create me to be happy primarily. Primarily, he created me to be holy. God's more interested in my holiness than he is in my happiness. And I think God does want us happy. But before he wants us happy, he wants us holy. And then realize that trouble has a humbling effect on all of us. It really does. When we go through troubles, it can be a very humbling experience. I talked to a young man yesterday. You know, if you're 40 and mine, at now where I am in life, if you're 40, I say you're a young man, okay? You guys are just young. That's what happens when you get 60 plus, I guess. When I was a kid, I said, man, he's 40 years old. He's getting up there pretty old. Now I look back and say, that 40-year-old kid, man, they're just kids out there. They got nothing. But I talked to a guy yesterday who I'm pretty positive is less than 40 on the phone. And he actually made that comment to me. He suffered a pretty good loss in his life. And then he said, it's very humbling. It's very humbling. Sixthly, realize when you go through difficulties, you can come out either one or two ways. You can come out better, or you can come out bitter. That'll be your choice. That'll be your attitude. And you can see your problems as obstacles to happiness, to ruin your happiness, like a big obstacle, or you can see problems as opportunities to grow. Jesus again said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, so you got to learn to be a good loser. And then realize that the Word of God is a great healer. When anytime somebody goes through a hard time, and they're in a hard time, I always say, why don't you just start reading through the book of Psalms and just read through the entire book of Psalms. Realize the Word of God is a great healer. Take it, ingest it, apply it to your life. I guess that's a lot of people's problems. They don't apply it to their life. Remember where Jesus, we're going to read it here a little while. But, well, I guess we're here already, so turn the page to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can't God supply all your needs according to his glory? He can do that. So, by God shall supply all my needs. Then a little earlier in that chapter, in verse 13, he said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the higher priority. You can focus on your loss and you can be a lousy loser, or you can focus on the hope and the promises of the Word of God. And that's where you can put your focus. Now, how do you get through these difficulties? The psalmist said, and I believe it's in Psalm 42 and verse 5 and verse 11, where he said, hope thou in God. That's how you help. That gets you through it. Healing is affected by living the Christian life, living in such a manner that it is right or righteous in the eyes of God. God also uses human intervention. Somebody's having a health problem or a loss of health. They go to a doctor. They hope the doctor can help them out. Sometimes they go through where they need counseling, so sometimes they might go see a professional Christian counselor or something like that. But most people, you know what they need? They need a good dose of the Word of God. Focus on the promises of God and learn to be a good loser. Now, how about, let me switch gears here. How about the relationship between sin and depression? Depression can be the result of sin. Why is that? Because in sin, I'm always focusing on myself. I'm focusing on me. And selfishness is one of the top two sins that Christians commit. Unthankfulness and selfishness, or selfishness and unthankfulness. They kind of go together seemingly, but they're the top two. So because we focus on ourselves, we have this attitude, look what I lost, look what I'm not going to have. You know, it's kind of odd. People see things differently. You know, that one person's personality is one way and another's is totally the opposite. Some people come up and they say, you know, I went to school, I got my degree, I moved up in the corporation, and then I just lost my job, and I'm never going to have another job like that, and woe is me. And the next guy comes along and says, bummer. But you know what? I got fired. But man, I'm glad I'm out of that. Now I can actually go out there and do something I really want to do. Two people lose their jobs. One guy's all great with it, no problem, not a big deal. The other guy is all fretting and worrying and woe is me. But people are that different. I mean, they just are. It's funny how people react to things like that, because it's your perspective. It's your attitude. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and I am going to come back. If I get far enough, I am going to come back to Philippians. Some of you can quote these verses. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you know that? I mean, do you really know that? No matter the loss, no matter what happens, you can sit back while you're going through it and say, you know what? God's going to bring good out of this. I don't know how. I don't see it. I've had all of those things happen to me. I don't see good coming out of this, I've said to myself more than once. I don't see how good's going to come out of this. But this is what it says. Isn't this what it says? We know. Do you really know it? I mean, do you really believe it? Do you know that all things work together for good to them that love God? You got to be a God lover, I know that. To them who are called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to notice the next verse. Why does God, how does this happen? All these bad things, good things, whatever, they all work together for good. How is that? For whom he, what's the reason? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You know what the reason is? God is trying to conform you to be more and more and more like Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's why we go through loss. God's using them to conform us into the likeness of his son. God is molding us and fashioning us into his image, and he wants us to be Christ-like more than God wants us to be happy. The Bible doesn't say all those that live godly shall be happy. All those that shall live godly shall never have a problem. It says all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. So the more godly I live, the more persecution I suffer, evidently. You say, well, that's not what I'm signing up for. God is using those things to conform you into his image. Now listen, you do need to know your Bible. But depression can be one of the consequences of sin when we are dealing with the loss, which is the result of sin, the sin that caused it, there is a connection. Now, I'll give you an illustration about that. Let's pretend you marry a lost person. So this Christian marries a lost person. Bad idea, but that's what they do. And you decide you want to serve God. And your person that you're deciding to marry, they don't want to serve God, and they really don't want you to serve God that much. And now all of a sudden, you get depressed because you want to serve God. Well, what happened? You made a bad decision back there somewhere where you married somebody, according to the Word of God, saved people don't marry lost people. You made a decision back there, and that depression now is the result of your sin. That's what I'm talking about. That's a simple illustration. When it's sin, you have to rise up, you have to confess it, you have to get over it, you have to get past it, and the truth is you have to live with the consequences. You just do. And it's all about your attitude. In my office, when I use that phrase, you just have to get over it. You know, sometimes that doesn't go over very well. The first time someone said, you know, Pastor, that just doesn't sound very nice to me. And I thought to myself, after I thought about it, I says, I guess that kind of doesn't sound very nice, does it? But sometimes you come up with something better to say. I'll be all ears, okay? Sometimes people just have to get over some of the things in their life. Then I've heard a man told me this one day. My wife says you irritate her with some of the counsel you give. And it's like, I don't mean to. It's not what I mean to do. But listen, I say those things to myself. Carpenter, get over it and move on. You just have to get over it and move on. And I know it sounds cold, maybe, but at some point, we have to get on with our lives, and sooner or later, we have to get over it. Because that loss is a loss. It's not, you're not going to get it back. Ninthly, I had a list of 8 of them. Well, realize for now, all is not lost. You may have lost something, but you haven't lost everything. We know that God can take bad circumstances and turn them around and ultimately use them for good. Remember what it says in Psalm 42 in verse 5 and 11. The first main thing is hope in God. Never lose your hope in God. Just don't let it happen. I don't care how many lies the devil throws at you, how many fiery darts the devil throws at you. It comes into your mind and you can't let those take root. It's not the lie that's the problem. It's when you embrace that lie of the devil that it becomes a problem. So don't allow those to take root in you. Just hope thou in God. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Mrs. Gant, do you have any scotch tape in your desk? Okay, after Sunday school, can you get it for me, please? I got to tape this page. Philippians chapter 4. Here is a model for dealing with loss. Does anybody know what the theme of the book of Philippians is? Joy. Remember chapter 4 and verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So the theme of this book is joy. Do you remember where Paul was when he wrote it? Prison. How do you write about joy from prison? Ask Paul. He had a higher priority. He always had a higher priority, and that was to serve the Lord. So it's a model for dealing with loss. Its theme, the book, is joy. And, how do we get this joy? Paul, you put Jesus first. You put others second. You put yourself third. Isn't that what we sing, J-O-Y, that J-O-Y, this is what it means? Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Joy is the opposite of being depressed. Paul said, and by the way, Paul, you know, he knew both how to abound and how to suffer loss. Paul had been through both ends of the spectrum, and he knew about loss, and he knew about trials. Now, I want you to look at verse 4, even though I just quoted it. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. How often did he say rejoice in the Lord? Read it. How often did he say rejoice in the Lord? Always. Always. When things are good and when things aren't so bad. It's sometimes when things are bad, in the moment, it's not easy to rejoice. But ultimately, we have to rejoice in the Lord always. The proper response to trouble is in life is this. Well, praise God. God's using this to mold me and to make me and to shape me into his image. Praise the Lord. God is still in control. Why is that? Because you are recognizing that God is in control of the circumstances in life. Actually, the RU ministry defines joy as this. The peaceful, calm delight in all of the circumstances of life. No matter the circumstances, if we're filled with the Spirit, and none of us always are, that's a fair statement, we can be peaceful and we can be calm. But myself included, I will promise you this, don't ask for illustrations, I am not always calm, I am not always peaceful. There are times when I step outside the filling of the Spirit of God as well. So we recognize that God is in control of our circumstances. I praise God in spite of my circumstances. So rejoice in the Lord always. That's what Paul said. Even in the most difficult things in your life, and in case you missed it, he said, again, I say, rejoice. Now let me give you three or four thoughts here. First of all, you need to magnify the Lord. That will get your attitude up and your perspective up. When he says rejoice in the Lord always, you need to magnify the Lord. Now I want you to look at verse 5. Let your moderation, so we're going to make point 2, moderation, be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Now what's he saying? Stay in control. Do you ever see some people just lose it? I think I told you a story a few weeks ago about a guy who just hit another guy upside the head with a baseball bat because he just lost it. Listen, you can't just lose it like that. $10,000 later, he probably realized I shouldn't have lost it like that. Okay, you have got to stay in control. How do I do that? I let the Spirit of God control my reaction. So something happens, and then you have a reaction. That reaction has to be led by the Spirit of God. We are looking for a manifestation of God's Spirit in your life. Notice what he said. Let your moderation be known unto all men, so that the people see you, they see you as a person in control. They see you as a person filled with the Spirit of God, and they may not even know that, but that's how they would see you if they understood the Bible. And when you are that way, what happens in your life? All of the fruits in Galatians chapter 5, they come out. When something bad happens, if you are filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, as we've read several times now, in Galatians 5, it all starts to come out of your life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, all those things, they all start to come out because you're filled with the Spirit. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Don't lose it. Keep in control. If you need a moment, if you need a moment to have a hissy fit or whatever you want to call it, go somewhere and do it alone. You know, go out back of your shed and scream once if you have to or whatever, I don't know. But learn to stay in control. The younger generation, they seem to snap quicker and they just seem to lose it. You ever watch a kid have a tantrum? They lay on the floor somewhere and they kick their feet and they stomp and all that stuff. Well, adults don't do it quite like that, but the attitude is the same thing. It really is. Thirdly, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Okay, so we're talking about depression. So when he says be careful for nothing, he's saying don't what? Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Well, it's a big loss. Don't worry about it. I just lost my job making $500,000 a year. Don't worry about it. By the way, nobody in here probably makes that much, so you don't have to worry about that anyway, okay? But don't worry about it. I'm not sure we make that much altogether. Don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. That's what you do. So he says, be careful for nothing, but here is what you do do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, circle the word thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Somebody said this once, I jotted it down. Don't worry about something you can't do anything about because you can't do anything about it. Right? If you can't do anything about it, don't worry about it. Then he said this, if you're worrying about something that you can do something about, stop worrying and do whatever it is that you can do to do something about it. That's how you got to live your life. Just stop worrying about things. If you can't fix it, no need to worry about it. I've gone to bed and said, Lord, here's a problem, and I don't have a solution, but I'm not going to worry about it. It's in your hands. Good night. I'm going to sleep. And it usually takes me 10 to 15 seconds to fall asleep. I'm one of those. There's nights I can be asleep before my head hits the pillow, man. But you just, and if there is something that you could do, don't worry about that either. Just do whatever it is that you can do about it, but stop the worrying. Do not let your problem drain your spiritual and emotional energy. Go to God, commit it to God, but sitting around worrying about it never fixes anything. Take it to the Lord. Pray about it. Fourthly, verse 8. I'll come back to verse 7, I hope, shortly. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, notice what it says, think on these things. You've got to think right. Now he's talking about meditation. Meditate on the Word of God. Well, what if this doesn't work out? What if it does work out? What if it does? Think right. Sometimes in the end, even if you lose, sometimes in the end you get something better. You don't know that you're not going to get something better. You just don't know that. Stop worrying about it. Meditate on all those good things right there. Might want to memorize that verse, even if it is kind of wordy. All right? Magnify the Lord. Live in moderation, stay in control, learn to go to God by prayer and supplication, think the right things or meditate. And then verse 9, it says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, do. Circle the word do if you have a Bible. And because some of you have your phones and stuff. And the God of peace shall be with you. Can you circle something on a phone Bible? Underline it, highlight it. Can you? Cool. I didn't know you could do that. I don't use my phone. Listen, I struggle with it just to take a picture, all right? But circle the word do, whether you have a phone Bible or a real Bible. Not that it's not a real Bible. What's he talking about there? Modeling. Listen, most of you know what the right thing is to do. You don't have to have a daddy tell you or a mommy tell you. This is an adult Sunday school class. And some of you are younger adults, but the fact of the matter is, you pretty much know what right from wrong is. Do right. You say, how am I going to do it? I don't know, you just do it. That's what you do. It's by the grace of God. It's why I need him. It's why you need him, and I need this Bible, and I need to saturate my mind with this Bible so I can do what it says in verse 8. I can learn to think like God. I can put on the mind of Christ. I can respond with the fullness of the Spirit of God in my life. But we all have a little bit of selfishness in us, and we all think the universe revolves around us, and when something doesn't go our way, we have proven that we can be a bad loser. So what we're talking about then is we need to learn to be a good loser. Now, I said we'd go back to verse 7. Go back. And it says this. Here's the result. When I learned to be a good loser, here's your result. And the peace of God. Do you want the peace of God? Who wouldn't want the peace of God? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, I got to tell you something. I've been in a couple of situations where people have looked at me. One, I was working at the mill. The other one, I was at a hospital. And then there was one other one when I was, I think, fishing somewhere or whatever. And a bunch of guys around, probably Salmon River. But it was like, why? What do you have that I don't have? I said, I don't have anything you don't have. One guy says, you probably have more than I have, as a matter of fact. But I have somebody that they didn't have. You know who I had? I had the Lord. And the peace of God that comes over you in certain situations when you are filled with the Spirit of God, quite honestly, doesn't even make any sense to the lost people. Not a bit of sense. How can you be so peaceful and so calm? Well, because the Bible tells me, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that doesn't even make sense, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What are the results? Peace and contentment. Now notice verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You say, well, I live in New York State. Well, you're going to have to learn to be content here, okay? But that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul's talking about no matter what situation. Where was Paul? He was in prison. You know what Paul said? I'm content in prison. Listen, I'm in no hurry to go to prison, but I'd like to think if I was there, I could still stay close to God and be content there. Now, that's what he said. And then, so you learn to be content with where you are in life and with what you have. And then in verse 13 is another result. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What's that? That's confidence. I can do everything that God wants me to do. I can. You know this phrase, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can't give it to God, I can't let it go, I can't get over this. That's a lie of the devil that some have embraced. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything God wants me to do. That in verse 19, here's another result. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to trust God. He's going to meet my needs. He'll supply all of my needs. He didn't say I'll supply all your wants. Although for me personally, God has supplied pretty much all of my wants. Christmas time, it's very difficult for people to buy gifts for people who have everything they need and want. But my wife, she has me, so she doesn't have, you know, so that's like a fringe benefit, so she's got me. She's hard to buy for, just like every other adult is. Now listen, he supplies all of our needs. Well, Pastor, I don't have a yacht on a lake somewhere. Is that really a need? It's not a need. God doesn't care about all that stuff. God will take care of your need. You have to have confidence in that, and you have to have trust in that. Now, maybe you lost something, and you're grieving about that loss. The time comes when you have to get over it. And you just, maybe it's a health problem. By the way, I think most of you, Tim DeLello, he's still in the hospital. Like today is like day 50. But I think they might let him go home. All this from COVID. But I think he might go home Tuesday. 52 days. That is like a long time. For over the first month, he couldn't even see his wife and kids. And we text back and forth. Because for a while, he couldn't talk without coughing, coughing, coughing. But he said this, I have a wounded spirit. So then he said, but I am speaking to myself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. I'm making melody in my heart because I can't sing. I'm making melody in my heart to the Lord. That's really a good rest. He was spot on on that. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all of my needs. That's what you need to realize it. So, I'm going to finish. You're going to lose everything except your salvation anyway and the relationships that go to heaven with you. So you might just as well learn how to be a good loser. And I want to say that the adults, because most of you are, you got to teach your kids how to lose and be good losers. I mentioned earlier, you know, when we had sports and our kids were, when I was younger and also our kids, you know, they tried out. If they didn't make the A team, oh well, you deal with it. They got another place for you to play anyway. It might not be Major League Baseball. It might be, how many levels are in baseball, Matt? Is there like, there's all kinds. There's a place to play. So you want to play somewhere, just go play. Okay, it's fine. You'll be fine. You're better off, listen, wouldn't you rather play sitting on a team that isn't the A team is to sit on the bench and watch everybody else play? That'd be real exciting to sit there. Listen, we all suffer loss. Here's a good idea. This is very practical. You say, well, I'm just having a hard time. Go home, if you're a cook, make somebody a meal or a cake or a bunch of cupcakes or cookies or whatever, and take it to somebody. And get your mind off yourself for a while and put it on other people. But listen, those things that are right there, those verses in Philippians that teach us how to deal with loss and they show us the results if we deal with it the right way, practice those things in your life. And when you deal with somebody who's suffering a loss, try to direct them to the book of Philippians, the last two chapters specifically, because like all Paul's letters, the first two are more doctrinal, the second two are more practical. Address them to try to get them to go there and try to point out some of those verses that we just covered. They're pretty simple. And you yourself are going to suffer loss in life. You are. There are adults here. Their marriages have failed. We've lost loved ones. Our kids have gone crazy or whatever. Some of you have had maybe more of that than I have. But it's just, those are losses in life. But they can't make you inoperable. You still have to function. And God's only a prayer away. All right, let's pray. Father, we all lose in life. And so the last 2 weeks we've tried to discuss about we have to learn to be good, gracious losers. We will never lose our relationship with you. That's set in stone. Everything else on this earth, pretty much everything we own, I can't think of anything, is wood, hay, and stubble except my Bible and my relationships with others. It's all going to burn up anyway. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would learn to accept and learn how to lose. In Jesus' name, amen.